actually pray today, I'm not sure. But most of the days, we're going to talk for a few minutes, maybe 15 or so minutes, and then the rest of the time we spent praying. Tonight, we're going to stay together the whole time. Actually, near the end, some of you who are more comfortable doing this, some of you have probably more practice at it, I'm going to ask maybe three or four, depending on our time, to offer some prayers with the whole group. And so if you could just be kind of thinking, if you're willing to volunteer, I don't want to pick on anybody. You know, I don't know how many of you are comfortable or able or willing to do that. But if you are comfortable doing that and regularly do that, that'd be great if you wouldn't mind volunteering when we get to the end. I just want to tell you now. We're going to pray all together tonight. And then tomorrow and Tuesday, I should say day two and three. I don't know when day two and three is. I think it's tomorrow and Tuesday. We'll break up into small groups. I'll get you guys divided up into groups. And then the last 2 days, we'll be doing some solo praying. And the handout, we may use very much, we may not. I'm not really sure. My idea is that each day we're going to have kind of a particular focus. And we're going to use Jesus' model prayer from Matthew 6 and kind of take different components of prayer or concepts that relate to prayer each day and try to think about what prayer is about, why it's significant, why it's important. So I think I'll start with this, and I'm not sure which way you want to answer this question, so I'm going to ask it in two ways, and then you guys can answer however you want. What makes prayer challenging for you? Or if you want to answer this way, why did you pick this class? Of all the things that you could be doing, if you didn't pick it, just keep your mouth shut. But if you did pick it and you wanted to be in this, why did you pick this? And like I said, maybe a more negative way of asking the question is, what makes prayer challenging for you? I think this is helpful because it'll help us set our direction this week. What are we trying to work on the next few days to be better prayers, which is such a crucial component of the life of God. And it also helps to hear one another kind of share, here's kind of what I find challenging about prayer. Because there may be somebody else like, yeah, that's kind of me too. So, what do you find challenging about prayer / why did you want to participate in this activity? Yeah.
I would say that for me, prayer is probably like the most challenging aspect of spiritual life, because you're sitting there and you're kind of like, I know what I do. So it's kind of like being able to know how to think about how to go about prayer.
Yeah, so tell me more. Did anybody hear that? See, sometimes when you're praying, you're like, if I can quote you, now what do I do? Like, I'm going to pray, but now what? Well, what do you mean? Get a little more. Or somebody else may want to jump on that and be like, yeah, here's what that means for me. But what, like, you want to expound on it a little bit? And kind of yell a little bit, sorry.
Well, I kind of get confused about, like, what I'm supposed to say, or, like, what are the right things to pray about?
Yeah.
And, like, where should I focus to? And just thinking about how I need to overall view it.
Yeah, he's talking to the God of the universe. What am I supposed to say to him? He kind of, Ben was actually, I get down a little poll on Instagram to see why people struggle with prayer. And a lot of people are like, I don't really know if I should say anything. God already knows everything, so what's the point of saying anything? Or if I'm going to say anything, if you can help out, I don't know. Like, and there's all kinds of verses. All right, great. Other things that you find as personal challenges for prayer, or why you thought this would be an interesting thing to do?
It's easy for prayer to get repetitive.
Like, what do you mean? Give me an example of repetitive prayer.
Like, dear God, thank you for everything.
Amen.
Amen.
Seriously, the church that I grew up in, Nick, too, I don't know if you remember this. This is probably too young for you, I don't know. But we had this brother in our church, and he would get up, and I think I can copy the exact prayer, I'm pretty sure. Just give me a second, I think I can remember it. He'd get up, and he'd say, Father, we thank thee for this blessed Lord's day. Bless the sick, bring us back to the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's how fast he would pray, too, every single time. You know, right? You remember that? Yeah. It's a true story because Nick said so. So anyway, but like that's an example. Now, by the way, I'll say sometimes repeated prayers aren't necessarily bad. I think that guy sincerely meant it. I think he maybe slowed it down a little bit every once in a while. A little pauses in there probably would have been fine. But sometimes you can feel like, even in your personal prayers, what am I doing? I'm just praying the same thing every morning when I wake up, and every night when I go to bed, and every day whenever. I mean, it's the same prayer all over again. All right, good. Other challenges that you find with prayer. By the way, that's like, why is that a challenge? Like, why do you find that to be a challenge? Like, because it could be fine to repeat the prayer, but you feel like that makes your prayers hollow or less meaningful or something, or what?
Yeah, if you don't mean what you're saying, you're saying that goes through the motions, saying what no one wants you to say.
Good. Yeah, it just feels like a ritualistic kind of thing. Yeah. Good. Go ahead, Nick.
Distractions.
Sorry?
Distractions.
Distractions, yeah. Do you guys ever have problems with that, where you're trying to pray? What are the kinds of distractions that throw you off from praying?
Trying to, like, think about what to say in the prayer as I'm praying it, and like if I'm in front of people or whatever, like trying to do it quickly and sound like I'm speaking English and stuff.
Right, right, right. I was about to ask if it was mostly, are you talking about private prayer or public prayer?
Yeah.
Private?
Let your mind wander.
So you're talking about public prayer. There's lots of things where there's other people involved. That's a distraction. Let your mind wander can be part of it. Other, like, yeah, go ahead, please. So this is kind of tough for us. So here's the thing. I'll be honest, sometimes it feels weird teaching each other about prayer. It feels like the time where you're supposed to magically know it. You get baptized into Christ, and then you come out of the water, and you just magically have prayer skills. Well, the encouraging thing is actually the reason why Jesus taught the model prayer, which was not a prescription for prayer, it was just an example of prayer, kind of a framework. The reason why that happened is his disciples came to him, and it says in Luke 11, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus could have said, "Seriously? It's just talking to God, man. Just do it." But he didn't do that. He said, "All right, pray then in this way." And you guys know what happens next. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. We forgive those who sinned against us." Power, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to talk about this week. Is what are the chunks of that prayer that Jesus gives us to be able to learn how to pray better? So I want us to start with the concept of God as our Father. It's striking to me that whenever Jesus gives a model for prayer, he says we need to think about God as our Father in heaven. What are some other names Jesus could have, or other designations of God that Jesus could have used to open up that prayer? Other names of God, other titles for God, other descriptions of God in Scripture.
Yahweh.
By the way, that was his name. That's the name that they knew, right? Okay, good. Yahweh. Keep going. Other names of God that Jesus could have chosen to use as the model.
Jehovah.
Jehovah, right? Similar to Yahweh. Good. Keep going.
Almighty
God. By the way, that's a good way to start. You're going to ask him to do some stuff. It'd be good to acknowledge. You're the one who can do it. Almighty. Okay, good. Other names of God?
Glorious.
Sorry?
Glorious
God. Good. Or about just God or Lord? Okay, why do you think it's significant? And by the way, it's not just Jesus. Whenever you read through, particularly the letters of Paul, whenever he would pray, I should have fact-checked this, but I'm gonna tell you guys possible fake news, which would be a study project for you guys. Whenever Paul prays, the great majority of the time, if not every single time, whenever he writes prayers in his letters, he talks about bowing his knees before the Father. Okay? Why do you think that's such a big deal? To frame our prayers through the lens of, I'm praying to our Father in heaven. What does that do? What does that change about your conception of your prayers whenever you think of God as your Father? Here and here.
It makes it like more of a personal experience.
For sure. For sure. You're not just talking about like the vague God, maybe a he or a her or a something or an it or whatever.
Right?
There is a person here. And it's not just the distant Almighty, though he is that. He's our Father.
But I guess it kind of makes us think that it's more of a close relationship, kind of a personal, as you sort of said. And it kind of relaxes us instead of fearing what we might say and trying to be fancy when we pray. We can just be more simple and just kind of just a little slight asking Father for help or something.
Absolutely. Props to you, Frank. Nothing just happened there in your comment. Well done. Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe off to that, I'd say probably coinciding, is like it also
makes it very easy for us to like have a level of respect, because like it's hard to know, like we're just kind of going out of the blue on how to respect an almighty God. We just kind of like got to figure that out.
Yeah,
it's like we've grown up respecting our fathers, hopefully, and so it's like very easy for us to, it should be very easy for us to recognize what kind of relationship we have and how much we owe.
And even if, and actually, I think in some respects, those who, so I don't know everybody's situation in your life. Maybe some of you have never known your father, or never been around your father. Maybe your father's not particularly respectable. You understand the concept of a father is supposed to be. That may be why you know how your father is. But yeah, absolutely. So that's an interesting thing. I heard somebody describe it one time. Think of God as our father brings us to a place of reverence, intimacy. And I love that. And a lot of times you can go one direction or the other. You think of God in a very reverent way. So you're like really serious and God's a big deal and this is a big deal. And you can psych yourself out. On the other hand, you can just think about God as like that person who kind of helps me out when I'm in trouble. And prayer is not a very serious thing or a very important thing in your life. It's just whenever you're in trouble, you ask the person to bail you out. Right? And so there's a high level of intimacy, at least imagined intimacy. Or there's this high level of reverence, although it's not really reverence if we're not recognizing that God is near us, that He's our Father, that He cares for us, right? So think about God as our Father, and I'm going to suggest to you guys, I think the great majority of our prayers as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as members of Jesus' family, the great majority of our prayers should begin with our Father. By the way, probably the next person who prays is going to start out, Lord God, Jehovah, Almighty One, who created the things. He's not saying with the Father, you'd be like, ah, you're a loser, you can't pray. That's not what I'm saying. But my point is, for you guys, I would recommend Jesus' model and the example of the writings of Paul show that I think the primary way we should address God in our prayers is as our Father. And I think if we start there, it's going to help a lot of things. Let me pause again. Any other thoughts on how it could help shape our prayers, help us think differently about our prayers, if we think about God as our Father in heaven? Anything you guys want to say about that, as far as why that could be a significant thing, think of God as our Father in heaven, and if we frame it up that way, our prayers will be more effective, richer, we'll be better at prayer here and here.
Kind of like going off of the whole fact that He's our God and He's our Father, by putting Him in the position of a father as someone who should typically be it kind of helps you open up to what you need to pray about and what you need to ask for, like you would the Father, you know, back to that. So you know you're already in the right mindset.
Absolutely. And I want to reemphasize this again. And I'm not trying to get a divorce all of you guys and be like, our dads are great, right? Some of this, but for those of you who may not have great dads, I've noted that a lot of times people who don't have great dads who actually care and actually listen, it makes prayer even richer whenever they latch on to this idea of God as Father, because it's like, oh, finally, I have somebody who will care and who will listen and will be there for me. That's a special thing. And even those of us who do have good fathers, the best of our fathers, are still, they're either too weak or they're not wise enough or they mess up or they don't care about us all the time like they should because they're people, they're trying, but they're still people. And to know that we have a Father who's perfect in that, and while our fathers may point us that direction, they don't get there all the way. Whenever we begin our prayers each time with our Father in heaven, it reminds us it's not our earthly Father, it's our heavenly Father. And He's got it. Go ahead.
I feel like for me, it also helps with like interaction. As mentioned a couple times, like the challenge is that like it's hard to know how to interact with a God Almighty, and like at least how it should be. It should be like really easy to interact with the Father. You do it every day, like He's the one that's there for you, especially as this guy is like, I feel like that's helpful to me in that like I'm much more able to be like, oh, this is somebody that I can interact with and take these things to.
Yeah. Amen. Really well said. Other thoughts you guys want to share on the idea of approaching God and reflecting on and addressing Him as our Father in heaven?
Yeah, but I think like both parts of that, like you said, with reverent intimacy, talking about our Father, that's intimacy, and in heaven, that's how you see that it's different, and he's something that needs to be revered or feared elsewhere.
And that's a great lead-in. That second piece of that phrase in the beginning of the model prayer, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. What does that word mean? You have to explain the word hallowed. What is that saying? God is hallowed. His name is hallowed. What's that all about? Okay, good. There's something really special about it.
the Father is somebody like no other. You point, like, there's this really deep reverence and care we have.
This is where the Psalms really come in handy for us. Because in some ways,
and actually all the scriptures, but you start in Genesis, you go through the whole story of the Bible, but
especially in the Psalms, there's almost this crescendo and climax of a description of God. Now at that time, God was only rarely imaged as a father in the Old Testament. He was, but not very often. Through the New Testament with Jesus and move forward, that really comes to the forefront. But the Psalms are great because it's a description of this God, Yahweh, the God of the covenant, the creator of all things. And you learn all these great things about God, that he keeps his promises, that he hates sin, that he defends those who are in trouble, that he rescues people when they call on him, and just on and on and on and on and on. That's your father. That's your father. And imagine you didn't have a father. And imagine you were reading about this great person. Somebody came and they just plopped down this textbook and they're like, hey, read about this guy. You're like, why? And they're like, just trust me, read it. And you read it and you're like, man, that guy's amazing. I'm really impressed with him. And the person said, yeah, I thought you would. And he's adopted you into his family. That's your father now. My dad owns the world. My father runs the show. Everybody bows down to him. He's the one who made everything. He's the one that has all wisdom. He cares for the lowly. He has this huge family. That's my father now. Learning about how special and sacred God is and how hallowed his name or his identity, his nature really is. It draws us into prayer just to talk to him about that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So I want to talk about two practical things and then we're going to pray. And I want to remind those of you who might be willing to volunteer here in a minute. I'm going to ask for that. So two kind of practical things related to this concept of thinking about God as our Father and using that as our entry point to be more pursuant of prayer and interested in prayer and just better about prayer. One is learning how to praise God. And I mean just exclusively. And actually, that's what I'm going to ask those of you who volunteer. I'm not trying to psych you out or anything. But I'd like to just have some prayers where we just praise and thank God and that's it. And like, no asking for. By the way, you're not getting punched in the face if you ask for anything in prayer. It's okay. I'm going to slip into that. And by the way, kids slip into that with their parents, even when they're not supposed to ask for stuff. So no problem. Okay. But it is a good discipline to learn how to simply praise God so that you can get it locked in your brain that he's our Father in heaven and his name is hallowed. His name is sacred. My Father is a big deal. A way big deal. And that's important for me to know because it draws me closer to him. The second thing I just wanted to say, since we're going to kind of do this in this setting, and this happens. You guys are going to have opportunities. Some of you have already had opportunities in your life. Somebody already mentioned this too, about the notion of praying like public prayers, right? Or maybe we say prayers where other people are in the room too. Here's the problem. If I say I'm doing a public prayer, what does that indicate about who I'm thinking about when I'm praying? So, maybe myself. Why do you say that? It's public, so.
You're the one doing it in front of all these other people.
All these other people. They're watching me and listening to me. What kinds of things can, and those of you who've done this before, pray in the presence of other people, maybe in church, maybe with a group of people, whatever. What kinds of stuff can run through your head a lot whenever you're going to pray in front of other people?
Compare it to other people's prayers.
Yeah. You think about the person everybody makes fun of, you know, because they said that weird thing or they have that weird little tick in their prayers or whatever. You're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Or that person prays so good, I'll never pray that good or whatever. That's one thing to get your head going.
And I guess just not wanting to say the wrong thing or trying to make it, keep it to where everyone can understand it and stuff so you don't have to. Because like, in our prayers, we're going to understand what we're saying.
Sure.
So when we got to public and we're praying in front of them, we can use maybe words that people will understand. So we should probably keep it more simple. And I guess when you're praying in public, you got that, you kind of try to think that way instead of kind of maybe makes you nervous or causes problems.
You get nervous because you're thinking about how to go about it. Now, I'll say, actually, some of these you brought up are actually a good point. There's a difference in praying privately and praying on behalf of other people, right? So it is important to actually think about that, but you can psych yourself out because all you need to do is thinking about everybody else. I just want to really encourage you guys that whenever you have opportunities to do that, like we're about to do right now, and like you may have opportunities this week to serve in that way, to think of it as an opportunity of serving others and honoring God, and don't think about it like a performance. And I know nobody would ever say it, that it's a performance, but frankly, that's kind of how we think about it. We think about it like, okay, I got to like get up here, and I need to like stand up in front, and is it hands behind, or hands in front, or hands on the side, or hands up, I don't really know, what am I supposed to do? You think about all these things in a performative kind of way, and it's not that. You're not performing for God, and you're sure not performing for everybody else. Or if you are, then you're doing it wrong. Learning to pray for others and thinking about it as a family gathering By the way, notice, I didn't have you open your Bible. Sorry, that was a mistake on my part. But that first word, whose father is it? Our Father. Notice Jesus didn't tell them to pray my Father in heaven. He said pray our Father in heaven. By the way, this is instruction for private prayer. So whenever we pray, it makes us not think about God differently, but each other. And whenever we're praying publicly with others present or whatever you want to call it, it's important to think about, I'm just, on behalf of my brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to our Father. So yeah, you do need to think about the words you use and the types of things you pray about, right? You may have a bunch of personal problems with your girlfriend or whatever. Probably prayer on Wednesday night is not the time for that, okay? Like, save that for later when it's just you and God. But you know what maybe you should pray for is pray for the deacons in your church that they would serve well. Pray for the mothers in your church that are raising their children. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are in sin. Pray for that person who came forward 2 weeks ago and said they needed prayers from the church to overcome. You know what I'm saying? You're thinking about others. And with that, you may want to jot down some notes, you know, or whatever. But think about prayer as us all coming together as a family to our God. I want to encourage you guys to do that now. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to take 3 or 4 minutes. And I just want you guys to all, everyone, to write down as many things you can. I'm going to put the clock on for 3 minutes. And I want you to just keep going. Theoretically, and I know your brain will freeze up at some point, but theoretically, you could just keep writing for 3 minutes, probably for a lot more than 3 minutes. Because Psalm 119, I think, probably took more than 3 minutes to write. And there's a lot of praise in there. You know what I'm saying? Just be writing down things that you would praise God for or be thankful for. And just keep on writing. And I'm sorry, I don't have like a space on the first 2 pages that is designated for you to fill in stuff. So you can write it in the margin on the side or another piece of paper or whatever. And I'd like you to do this. I think it's a good discipline, whether it's something you're doing personally in praising God or even if you're praying on behalf of a congregation of people. It's a good discipline just to jot down what are the things about God I want to praise Him for. So I'll put 3 minutes on the clock. You guys jot down as many things as you can. And then after that, however much time we have, I'm going to ask a few of you brothers, if you don't mind, to pray on behalf of all of us, leading us in praise of our Father, whose name is hallowed. All right, 3 minutes.
So you have 30 seconds, guys. All right, whenever you get done with the next thing or two, you can go ahead and you can keep writing if you want to, but we'll go ahead and pause. Did you guys find it challenging to do? Or did anybody find it challenging to like come up with a pretty good list? Or was that pretty easy to keep on coming up with stuff? That's a really stupid question, actually. Sorry. Too subjective and bad question. I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm sure it was not that hard for you guys. And if it was, probably if you had more time and it wasn't like a pressure cooker thing, you just keep thinking about God and think about the things that he does, and you just keep coming up with things. I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to refer you to it again. If you ever are struggling in your prayers where you're like, you know what, I don't think I really appreciate how special my Father really is, and my prayers aren't, I'm not beginning like Jesus said, our Father in heaven, and then he praises it. Hallowed be your name. My prayers just, I jump straight into asking for a bunch of stuff, or I try to praise God, but I don't really know what to say. Check out the Psalms, man. That's where you'll learn a lot of stuff about God's nature and what makes him so holy and so special as our Father. I'll tell you another book that helps me with that, in particular, is the book of Isaiah. It helps a lot with thinking about the nature of God and how special he is, and how special he is that God, who is all the things that he is, and has done all the things that he's done, and is doing all the things that he's doing, that God is our Father. That's a tremendous thought, and it's really important for us to begin our prayers and learn to discipline ourselves to pray more praise. So I'm going to ask a few brothers who feel comfortable, that you feel like, you don't have to just use your list, although I would encourage you to use your list, but anybody who feels comfortable leading in prayer, if you don't mind just raising your hand, I'm going to call on three or four guys. Boom, 1, 2, 3. Sorry, they all were in line. A couple others want to lead prayer. Go ahead, that'd be great. Let's pause there and if we have more time. Anybody else who is, that'd be great. By the way, a lot of you are going to repeat each other. God repeats a lot of things about himself all throughout Scripture. It's not bad for us to repeat things whenever we're gathering to praise God. A lot of the songs we sing repeat things about God and his nature. And so, don't sweat it. Praise God, praise our Father for the things that you think make him really special. I'm going to add one more note here, and you're going to go first. We'll find you. And then, actually, we'll just go for it. Boom, boom, boom. So you'll be third. And then you'll be fourth. Okay. One thing I would encourage you guys. 1 Corinthians 14 says that if people are going to be able to say amen, they have to be able to understand what's communicated. That was in the context of speaking in tongues. I'm not banking on any of you guys praying in tongues here. But what it does mean is if we can't hear what's being said, then it's hard to say amen. By the way, if you're praying in a group and the person who's praying is really quiet and you can't hear them, what should you do? Zone out. Stop praying. Any suggestions?
Or tell them to speak up.
That's one option. Kind of awkward in the middle of prayer in church to tell them to speak up. That's an option.
Maybe like pray yourself.
Pray your own prayer. Like you don't have like this guy isn't taking control of your life. He's just praying for to our Father on your behalf. So pray your own prayer. But I would encourage you guys, especially with the rain noise, if you feel like you're being loud, you're not nearly loud enough. So pray even louder than what you think. And you guys just kind of stand up and pray loudly so that we can all hear you and we can all say amen. And that'll be a really good thing for us to all do. I know we don't always do that. At the end of songs or prayers would be a really good thing if in this class when we all pray together, we'd all say amen at the end of it. So.
Father, we don't pray to you enough. We understand that you are our Father and that because of that, you deserve all the praise and all of the thoughts, all of the problems that we can bring to you, and we're thankful for that. God, we're thankful for so many things because you've given us so much. You've given us this camp where we can come. We can our mind where we can worship you and be able to do so without fear that other people throughout the world often deal with. God, we're thankful for hardships and we're thankful for challenges because they make us better. They force us to raise our game. They force us to seek deeper. And for that, we praise you. God, we're thankful for your church and your word, both of which are incredible tools that we can use to grow closer to you, to grow closer to one another, and to help strive to get toward that goal of heaven, God. God, we're thankful for the relationships that we are able to have with other people. We thank you for giving us emotion, for giving us the ability to love, to feel, to hurt, to cry. Because all of these things make us human. They make us relatable to one another. God, we thank you for our ability to adapt, our ability to overcome challenges, and also the ability to do so together so that we can draw closer as a family, just as you have intended it to be. God, we thank you for prayer, for this ability that we have to talk to you, to share our concerns, share our failures, our successes, just like we would a real father, because you are ours. God, we thank you for the leadership you've placed in our lives. God, for the leadership in this country, for the leadership in our homes, at our churches, at this camp. God, we pray that we would not only respect and be thankful for leadership, but we praise you for giving us the ability to be leaders, to have influence on other people, and to make a difference to each and every person around us. God, and above all, we're thankful that you sent Jesus Christ, who gives us all of these amazing gifts that we've already mentioned in this prayer. Because God, without that, without his sacrifice, without that common bond, none of these things would be possible. God, we thank you in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, our Father, we come to you now thanking you so much for all that you've blessed us with. Thank you most of all for being our Father. Thank you for knowing us and caring for us. Thank you for being with us in the hard times. Lord, we thank you so much for sending your son to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. Father, we thank you so much. Father, we thank you very much for this camp and all of the teachers. Please help us as listeners to take what we learn and to apply it to our lives. Please help us to have open ears, hearts, and minds so that we may apply it to our lives. Lord, we thank you so much for everything. Lord, we thank you very much for the freedom to worship you and to read more about you. Lord, we pray that we won't take it for granted. Lord, we thank you very much for this avenue of prayer that we can use to talk to you, to praise your name. Lord, again, we thank you very much for your son, Jesus, and his sacrifice so that we might have eternal life when our life is over. Please be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much, God, for allowing us all to be here, to serve one another, to edify one another in this time, God, that we need it most. We thank you, God, for creating us. We thank you for caring for us without a cause, God. Nothing that we have done has made us deserving of the love that you give us. Thank you for forgiving us without a cause, God. The things that we have done in our lives, Lord, only bring us shame in your eyes. And we ask, and we're thankful, Lord, for our ability to be forgiven, not because of anything that we have done, but because of your greatness. Thank you for allowing us to be your children, and forgiving us brothers and sisters here on this earth, God, to to edify us and bring us closer to you. We thank you, God, for giving us a world that is so full of blessings and wondrous, amazing things. But God, I also thank you that you have given us trials and thorns and pain so that we have a way to look forward to heaven, God, to being with you for all of eternity. I thank you, God, for presenting us with trials and for your help with our faith and our belief to overcome those trials. And again, God, be closer to you because of that. Again, God, I thank you for giving us not only what we need here on this earth, but for blessing us in abundance, specifically at this camp, Lord. I thank you that at a time when so many other things are canceled or postponed, that we still have this safe area, God, to come together with people of like mind and to look to you, God, and only you. We ask that you would help us in that this week. And I thank you for the amazing help that we receive from our fellow campers, from the counselors and the teachers. And I thank you, Lord, for the leaders of the camp who put so much work and effort and time into making it not only enjoyable for us, God, but encouraging. Pray and ask all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Please pray for me. Our Father, who art in heaven, Lord, we come before you now, Lord, thanking you for all the many blessings you bestow upon us, Lord. Lord, especially at this time, we ask you for our help, Lord. We thank you that you've blessed us with all good help, Lord, especially for this difficult time, Lord, where so many people are struggling with their health, Lord, that we have that good help, Lord. We have strong immune systems that can fight off this dangerous virus, Lord, and we're so thankful for that, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for all the talents that you give us, Lord, that we're able to do stuff, Lord, that we enjoy, Lord. We're so thankful for that, Lord. We thank you that you help us so much, Lord, and that all of us, Lord, have a roof above our heads, Lord, Lord. We thank you so much for that. Father, we thank you that for this nature, Lord, that we have, Lord, at this camp, this lovely state park that we're able to have, Lord, that we can look out, Father, and see new wonders in you, Lord. We thank you for our friends and family, Father, and we can always look to you through times of hard trouble, Lord, that we can lean upon them, that you give us that strong rock, that, Lord, that we can look to them on this world and look to you also, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we live in this great country, Lord, where we're able to have an education, Lord, we're able to learn, Lord, we're able to worship you, Lord. We have so many great abilities in this nation. So, Father, we ask many things for that. Lord, we thank you that we're able to praise you again in this country, Lord, that we're able to praise you at this camp. That we're able to have this camp. We thank you so much for that, Lord. We thank you that you put people in our lives, Lord, in times that we need it, that we can look to them, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. Most importantly, Lord, we thank you that you sent your son to this earth, Lord, and suffered so much for it. We thank you for that.
Amen. We have just a few minutes. I want to do one thing before we wrap it up here. And John is saying, I'll put you on the spot if it's okay. As all of us, you know, I don't know, some of you guys, the idea of praising God in your prayers, you guys spend a lot of time leading people in worship, praise, etc. What advice would you guys give for those of us who want to do a better job of incorporating more praise into our prayers to kind of supercharge that? I know a lot of times you work with people when it comes to singing and things of that nature. There's a lot of overlap with that. So I'm putting you guys on the spot, sorry. But maybe practical suggestions or biblical suggestions or whatever.
I've heard people encouraged to think about God, you are blank.
Yeah.
And to answer that question. And when you do that, you praise God for his character, for who he is. And I don't always think about it like that. I think more about what he gives me rather than who he is.
Good. That's a great suggestion. Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same thing, that there's a difference between praise and thanksgiving. They're very closely related, but in thanksgiving, we're thanking God for a thing that God's given us and focuses a little bit more on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still saying, like, God, you gave me the thing. But in praise, it's like our eyes are on God and not just the stuff that he's given us. And we're, now some of the stuff that God has given us tells us something about God. Again, these are not like totally unrelated, but praise and something like that. And I think sometimes meditating on the Psalms is really helpful. And also the songs that we sing. A lot of the songs that we sing are songs of praise. And this sometimes will give us, like the Psalms, new ways to praise God. And new ways to think about him and to kind of explore his character. And that's helpful for me.
Yeah, that's really good. Ben, I know you put some fun on all this stuff, so if you'd like to say, I wanted to just piggyback on that. If you want to add anything, to just suggestions on how to learn to praise God. If you don't, it's fine too. If you want to, it's fine. I think it was about a year or so ago, I heard someone who's pretty wise and a really close Bible student, a careful Bible student. And he actually said something I thought was weird. He was in a group like this, and he had gotten asked to lead a prayer of praise. And he actually got up and he said, well, I was asked to lead a prayer of praise. He said, but I don't know anywhere in the Bible where people pray their praise. They always sing it. Now, I don't know if that's right or not. I think it's not totally right. But his point was exclusively on that, right? I don't think it's totally right. There's some examples where they praise God. But his point was well taken that, for instance, the Psalms were meant to be sung, right? And so here's my point with that. Whether that brother was right in his claim, or maybe he was a little bit overstating the case, if you want to supercharge your prayer life, one thing you need to be doing a lot more of is worshiping privately in song, right? And even a lot of the sections, like there's some confession prayers in Ezra and Nehemiah where they have some praise sections about God's character. They're quoting from Psalms, or referencing things that would have been in the Psalms that they would have sung when they got together to worship. In other words, these two kind of feed into each other a lot. And a lot of the songs that we sing, whether they're expressions of devotion or of honoring God, that'll supercharge your prayer life. So learn to sing more. And if you're going to singing classes this week, that's not just learning how to beat time, although you'll learn how to do that. And it's not just learning how to sound good. It's learning how to think about God in a different way. And so really take that seriously. Ben, you want to add anything to like fatherhood, stuff with God, or praising God, or just anything you want to add in on here?
You hit most of it, but I would just reiterate the point of private worship is so key to, that public talking, in front of other people, in front of God, that if you practice in private your prayers of praise, those things are going to come across naturally, and you'll find yourself not saying to help me or help us as much, although those things are good. You'll be able to balance your prayer life a little bit more. Sometimes I think we do tend to just ask God for everything. We treat him like, Santa Claus or something, but he's our God, our Father, and we should praise him. So I thought it was a good point.
Cool. Thank you, guys. This is great. I hope you think more about God as our Father. We're going to try to build on this. I was going to tell you guys, after all this talk of like, only praise God, only thank God, don't ask for anything, the next few days we're going to talk about what we're supposed to ask for. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that. Tomorrow we're going to talk about praying the will of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that even mean? Those sound like good words to pray in prayer, but what does it even mean in real life prayers? So that's what we're going to do tomorrow. And we are going to break up into groups, and we'll kind of disperse ourselves in this room. And after, I'll kind of give you guys an exercise, and then you'll break up into your groups. We'll spend much less time talking as a whole group, much less talking, period. And you guys may talk in your small groups and then and pray in that setting. So thank you all very much. I'm really excited for the next few days to help each other out. I don't really know what we're supposed to do right now, to be really honest. Do you know what we're supposed to do? Or John? Let's all hang out in here. I just don't know if we're supposed to wait for the rain to get done, or if we're supposed to go.
I think we just go.